So, as requested, we're going to go a little bit off topic today and hopefully again next week. It's a big, and we're going to discuss Hilchos Chol HaMoed. It's a big topic, and it's going to be impossible to cover it all in two shiurim, but at least we can get some sort of guideline, some outline, some little bit of understanding. So I think this week we'll discuss some basic outlines of Chol HaMoed, and next week we'll get more into practical examples and see how it applies. So before we start about the Melachos of Chol HaMoed, which obviously is what everybody's waiting to hear, we'll just mention a few things about Chol HaMoed. Number one, Chazal say, HaMavazes HaMoedos B'meizid HaRezi B'chlau K'dvar HaShem Bozo. Someone who disgraces the Moedim on purpose, he's considered as someone who's Dvar HaShem Bozo. He has disgraced the word of Hashem. V'afal pi sheyesh b'yod ha-Torah ma'asim tovim, even someone who has Torah and ma'asim tovim in his hands, ein lo chelik l'olam haba, he loses his chelik in the world to come. So we see a very strong lashon of Chazal in support of protecting the honor and the holiness of the Yom Tov. And when we say Moedos, we don't just mean the first day and the last day. We mean all seven or eight or nine, depending on where you are and which Moed you're talking about, all those days. So obviously Chol HaMoed is talking about what we call the intermediate days. We have the first day Yom Tov, we have the end day Yom Tov, and in between we have the Chol HaMoed days. They can be anything from 3 to 5 days, depending if you're in Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael, and whether it's Pesach or Sukkot. Chol HaMoed is considered, in the Pasuk, is considered as Mikro Kodesh, and there are melachos that one may not do on Chol HaMoed, although it's called Chol, it is also called Moed. And therefore there are certain restrictions. The source of these restrictions are a source of machlokes. Some say that it is an issur d'oraisa, some say it's an issur d'rabbanan. We'll talk about it in a moment. I'll say it now just very quickly. Either we know the Torah considers it as holy and Chazal set it up that we have to refrain from certain melachos in order to retain the sanctity of the day. Or no, that was built in the Torah's description of calling it Mikra Kodesh, that certain things are restricted, and they are restricted midoraisa. There's a third explanation, and that is the one that is preferred by the Poskim, and is the common one that is accepted by most opinions, and that is that the Torah did provide that Chol HaMoed has Isurei Melacha, but didn't define them and left the definition of which Melachos yes and which Melachos no up to Durabonon. So the Torah didn't tell us which Melachos yes and no. The Torah said you have to refrain from Melachos, and Chazal were the ones who set on the guidelines of which one's yes and which one's no. We'll see there's also certain parts to the Melachos which themselves are Durabonon, but we'll see that later. There is also an inin of Kovod HaMoed, just like we've spoken about Kovod Shabbos and Kovod Yom Tov. There's also Kovod HaMoed, and therefore Chol HaMoed is a time to have Maichel Mishkeh, to have proper meals that are in honor of Chol HaMoed, and also to dress differently. It is brought down that some people wear their Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed. I say some people because it's not halacha. It's not like Shabbos where you're not allowed to go with your weekday clothing. On Shabbos, you have to wear Shabbos clothing. And halacha discusses what does a person do if he doesn't own Shabbos clothing. So he should make a change to his weekday clothing to make it different. And Shabbos clothing shouldn't be worn during the week. That's the dinin of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed, it's a lower level. But one does change the style of dress and the quality of dress in order to show, as everybody knows, you have that stuff that you wear day in, day out when you're doing work, when you're running around, and then you have stuff that you wear when you're going to meet someone, when you're going to go out or something like that. You wear a little bit better clothing. So even if you're not going to be wearing Shabbos clothing, although there is an Inyan, you do dress in a better way, in a better fashion on Chol HaMoed than you would on a normal weekday. From my personal experience, I found that here in Eretz Yisrael, a lot more people are makpid in wearing Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed, whereas in Chutz La'aretz are less makpid on it. But again, it is not a din that you have to wear Shabbos clothing. It's just that you show that it's Moed by wearing better clothing. As for a Suda, one should at least have one meal a day where one washes, although that's not, again, that's not Medina, and it's not all opinions. And just like the clothing, as I said, you don't have to wear Shabbos clothing, but you would show something different. So you should have a meal, a sit-down proper meal. And if you're not going to have bread, although it's recommended, at least have fleishiks and have wine if possible. There are those who are makpid not only to do this once a day, but also to do it at night. So one meal at night, one meal during the day. Again, these are different levels. Mi'ika hadin. You just show that the meal should be of a more chosh of a meal, and it should be a fleishig meal, then it shows that you've made this meal special for Chol HaMoed. But since the chiyuv of bread is not obligatory, therefore the din of a suda doesn't have the same din as on Yom Tov, and the naftamina of that is if a person forgot to say Yalev Yavo in benching, you don't repeat, because the rule of thumb is that only a meal which you mechuyev to eat would you repeat if you forgot to mention the, what we call me'ein hama'oira, the mention of the, something that is specific to that day. So for example, on Shabbos, if you left out Ritzei and it was one of the first two meals, then you would have to repeat benching. But Shalosh Shudas, you don't repeat benching if you left out Ritzei. Why? Because although Shalosh Shudas is a chiyuv, but it can be done b'di'eved without bread. So although l'chachila we say that everybody should wash for the third meal on Shabbos, but there is a possibility, there is an opinion that you can be mekayim your third meal on Shabbos with mezonos or even with teiros. So mamela, if you forget Ritzei on the third meal on Shabbos, then you do not repeat benching because of forgetting Ritzei. The same thing applies to Yalev Yavo. So on Yalev Yavo, on Yom Tov, whether you go mechuyev to eat two meals, one at night, one during the day. So if at one of those two meals you forgot Yalev Yavo, you would repeat. If you happen to have another meal on Yom Tov, either because you're machmir, some people have a chumra to eat Shalosh Shudas on Yom Tov to be mekayim the Shittas HaRambam, or stamazo you're hungry and you have another meal, whatever the reason is, but if it's not one of the first two meals, then you would not repeat because of leaving out Yalev Yavo, whereas if it was in the first two meals, you would repeat Birkas HaMazon for omitting the addition of Yalev Yavo. So therefore, we follow from there that on Chol HaMoed, if you left out Yalev Yavo, you do not repeat benching as a result. And that will be also with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, there is an Indian to increase food intake, meaning to have something special, or maybe even make a Suda, L'chvod Rosh Chodesh, but again, there's no chiyuv to wash, and therefore, if you forgot Yalev Yavo and benching, you do not repeat benching. Got an interesting halacha, what about Aliyah L'Rego? Going to Yerushalayim, in particular to the Machon HaMikdash on Yom Tov, which on Yom Tov itself, it's out of the Tchum, and therefore you can't get there, but on Chol HaMoed, there's no Issur Tchumim, and therefore you can get there, do you have to go? And the answer is, there is a big inyan to do it. To say there's a mitzvah, no. The mitzvah is in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, to bring a Kavu Chagiga, Lirois, what's the Russian? Yoreez Kakoz HaHorucha, is to go up and to see and be seen by Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the mitzvah in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but the zikha is a zeichel mitzvah, and the zikha is an inyan to go, and it is the right thing to do on Chol HaMoed, if you're able to go to Yerushalayim, in particular to the Old City, and to the coastal, and to daven there. An interesting, another question to do with Yom Tov is whether you've got a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov, and it is brought down that there is such an inyan, and does the inyan apply to women? So just as an aside, it talks that the whole sugya is learned from Isha Shunamis, when she was blessed by Elisha to have a child, and later the child died. And she was distraught, and she decided she's going to go back to Elisha and ask him to do something, and we know the famous story, he came back with Gehazi, and he revived the child. When she left the house, she hadn't told her husband that the child was lifeless and why she was leaving. She just left the house and said she's going to visit Elisha. the Navi. And her husband said to her, why are you going to the Navi? It's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. Meaning, usually you go on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, and today it's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Shabbos, so why are you going? So everybody asked, what did he mean when he said Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos? That means she went on a regular basis. So there's a discussion over there. Is that mean that it's a chiyuv to go visit your Rav on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh? So they discussed either it was a chiyuv or that was the habit. Why? Because that's when he gave his weekly shiur, or that's when he gave his monthly shiur, and she went to hear the Divrei Torah, so therefore there was a discussion of going to the Navi. So based on how you learn that pasuk of why she would have gone on a Shabbos or Chodesh is how you would learn whether there's a chiyuv or it was just something that she did. Okay, so that's a bit of an introduction. Now we'll get to more on the melachos. So we know that when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have what we call the Lamates Melachos, and those are our guidelines of what is considered Asur. Yom Tov, we have a heter called Oichel Nefesh, so something which has to do with food preparation. We're going to be maker with. And the way we paskin is that things that pertain to the need of the body are also considered Oichel Nefesh. And we also have a rule that we follow is mitoch shehutra letorech hutra shelo letorech, something that was, since it's mutter to do letorech ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do it also shelo letorech ochel nefesh. So since you're allowed to cook, which means you can light a fire in order to cook, so you can light a fire also for non-cooking purposes. Obviously, the way we come out is we don't mean that's mutter shelo letorech im ganzen, that you can do it for no purpose whatsoever, but you can do it for something which is not Oichel Nefesh, as long as it has purpose for Yom Tov. So if you need light, why are we allowed to light a candle on Yom Tov? And that is because there's a Tzorich Yom Tov. So Mitoch Shehutra, since I can light a candle, I can light a fire in order to cook, I can light a fire for a non-food purpose, but it's got to have purpose. So that's all we know of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Where does Chol HaMoed fit in? So Chol HaMoed, we have number one, as I said before, is an Issur Rabbanon Doraisa. We're going to pass on this Doraisa with Rabbanon Gedorim. And the Rabbanon said that it's basically the Lamates Melachos with the exclusion of. And there's two main exclusions that Chachamim said that Chol HaMoed has over Yom Tov, obviously. More than Shabbos, but even more than Yom Tov. Number one is when something is Tzorech HaMoed, something that is necessary for you in order to keep, you need it for Yom Tov, you need it for Chol HaMoed, you need to do something now. And number two is Davar HaAvod, something that if you don't do it, it will cause a loss, so then it becomes mutter to do. Those are the two main rules of what Chazal gave as a geder that is not considered a melacha. So although we're going to go with the opinion that the melachas on Chol HaMoed are Issur D'Oraisa, the follow-up on that means that if you're in a matzav of Sofek, you don't know whether it's mutar or asur, if we have a machlokas or something like that, or we don't have a clear definition, then in a D'Oraisa we always go L'Chumra. So in a Sofek, you would go L'Chumra on Hilchas Chol HaMoed. There is a caveat to that, we'll get to it in a moment, but Chazal said that doesn't apply to anything which is Tzorech HaMoed or anything which is Davar HaAvod. Now, within Tzorech HaMoed, we're going to divide that into different types of Tzorech HaMoed, depending on what the melacha entails. So, for example, we talk about Maaseh Uman and a Maaseh Hedyet. I'll give a typical example that is discussed in the Paskim, and that is sewing. To sew something in the way that is considered proper stitching and proper sewing is considered a Maaseh Uman, and therefore sewing, if you need a garment, you don't have a replacement, and you need a garment mended in order to wear it on Yom Tov, and I said you don't have a replacement, we can discuss it later what that means, you don't have a replacement. Maybe you have a different dress, but it's not nice enough, or maybe you can borrow one. We'll see, that's a separate story. But just to give the outline, you don't have a replacement, you need a piece of clothing mended, so that is a Tzorech HaMoed, you need to wear this clothing now on Yom Tov, therefore you need to have it mended. Then we discuss, is it a Maaseh Uman or a Maaseh Hedyet? If it's a Maaseh Uman, then it's not allowed to be done. And if it's a Maaseh Hedyet, it's allowed to be done. What is considered a Maaseh Hedyet? The definition of a Maaseh Hedyet is what we call Kashine HaKelev, when it is a very rough stitching that doesn't have It's not done finally in order caseda, but rather it's just very, very haphazardly done. Then there will be a meiser hedjet. But if it's done proper stitching, proper tidy, neat stitches, then that will be a meiser umen. Now that difference between meiser hedjet and meiser umen is a derabbanan geder. It's a derabbanan that set down that which one is mutter, which one's asur. Therefore, as I said, so anything which is Torah Hamoed automatically is excluded from the Melachos Daraisa of Chol Hamoed. Now, when you're dealing with something which is Torah Hamoed, and I told you there's a subcategory of whether it's a Maisa Uman or Maisa Hedet, or whether it is something that is done professionally or something that is done even by a non-professional person, so then that becomes the Rabbanon. Rabbanon said that true Maisa Uman is Mutter, true Torah Hamoed is Mutter, I'm allowed to do a Torah Hamoed, but nevertheless you should refrain from a Maisa Uman. But if I've got a Safek, so then it's a Safek Rabbanon, I can go Lekula. So again, Hilchos Chol Hamoed, the way we're going to paskin it, is that general Melachos, if they don't fall into the category of the exceptions, are asur midoraisa, and therefore the safek will go to chumra. But if it's a subdivision of those things which have been excluded, and I gave you two main rules of the exclusion, number one is Torah Hamoed, and number two is davar avid, so then when discussing the sub isurim within those categories, that is a drabonon. So just like in Torah Hamoed, there's a discussion, is it a Maisa Uman or a Maisa Hedyet? So too in Davar HaOvid, we discuss whether there's Tircha Yesera or not. When the effort needed to avoid the loss, as we said, Davar HaOvid is avoiding a loss. If the effort involved is extensive, so then even in Davar HaOvid, we asked it. But again, that is a Derabbanon, and we're going to treat it as Derabbanon. Therefore, if the loss is very extensive, we might even override that, or if he's got a suffix, so we're putting it into perspective. Now what about doing things with the help of a goy? So the same way we have Amir al-Akum is asur on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so Amir al-Akum is asur on Chol Hamoed as well. Therefore something which is asur from the Melachos, from one of those things that are offered to do on Chol Hamoed, it's not a Torah Hamoed and it's not Ocho Nefesh, then it will be asked to get a guy to do it for you. Obviously, all the rules that we have on Shabbos, that if it's a Shavuos, the Shavuos, the Makom Mitzvah, since you're telling a guy to do it, and Isur itself is an Isur Rabbanon, and it's the Makom Mitzvah, the Makom HaTorah, the Makom Rabbim, whatever the case may be, so since these are the rules that we have on Shabbos, we'll have them as well. But generally speaking, directly asking a guy to do something for you on Chol Hamoed, something which you yourself cannot do, is also on Chol Hamoed as well. Now, some things are also not included in Chol Hamoed, as Isur Chol Hamoed. Number one is Isur Tchum. The Isur Tchum does not apply on Chol Hamoed, and therefore you can travel. If you've got a heter to travel, that hopefully we'll discuss later what, when, and how, but if you have a heter to travel on Chol Hamoed, then there's no restriction on the distance you can travel. Number two, there's no Isur Mukhtar. The whole idea of Mukhtar is that you don't come to use something, but here most items are usable in some form on Chol Hamoed. Therefore, the whole sugya of mukta falls away. No such thing as mukta, and there's no such thing as shvisas behema or machamer. Therefore, to lean on your animal being mukta, to use your animal, to get your animal to do some work, to carry your animal to carry things in rishos harabim, etc., that does not apply on Chol Hamoed either. The same way we say that on Shabbos, if you take a malacha and you make it into a non-meleches machsheves, then it drops to a drabonon, or sometimes it becomes mutter. Now the gedorim of the malachas are the same on Chol Hamoed, and therefore if you do something kila'achayad, that means you do it in a non-normal manner, so that is now lacking in meleches machsheves in the definition of Shabbos malachas. So too that would be on Chol Hamoed, that doing something kila achayad is no longer an Isur Daraisa. However, the same way as also on Shabbos midrabanan on Yom Tov, on Chol Hamoed would also be on Chol Hamoed. So Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, something where the typical example of Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is you do a Melacha and you're not interested in the normal result but in a side benefit, is also on Shabbos midrabanan. At least the way we paskin, so to on Chol Hamoed as well. The example always given in the paskin was Hachoyfe Gumo Ve'en Netzorech Ed L'Afora, someone who digs a hole and he's not interested in the hole, but is interested in the earth that comes out of the hole. So that's a Malach Shem Tzichel Gufa. Normally when you dig a hole, it's because you want a hole. He digs a hole, not because he wants a hole, because he wants the earth. So therefore, that is considered Malach Shem Tzichel Gufa. That would be awesome. Midirabon on Shabbos, on Cholamoy, that would also be awesome. However, those things which on Shabbos or Yom Tov are also because of a Gzeira. Now, this Malach Shem Tzichel Gufa is not that Chazal said, don't do Malach Shem Tzichel Gufa because you might come to do something else. It's the definition of a Malacha. The definition, Malachas and Shabbos are only awesome when it's Malachas Machshevet, when you're doing it in the normal, straight, normal fashion that you're expecting a certain result. And when it's lax in Malachas Machshevet, it drops to the Rabbana. It wasn't a Gzera, it's just the Rabbana still said it's still awesome. But some things they said is a Gzera. Don't do this because you might come to do that. Don't ride on a horse on Shabbos, because you might come to break a twig of a tree to in order to prod the horse on its journey, and breaking a twig of the tree would be a melacha darais of koitzer, and therefore Chazal told us not to ride in a horse on Shabbos, or for example, not to climb a tree on Shabbos again, because you might come to break something off, to play an instrument, to play a musical instrument on Shabbos. What's the isur? The isur is shemi yava l'takin klei shir. A cord or a string might snap on your instrument and you will go and knot it with a kesher shekayama in order to fix it. And therefore Chazal said, do not play musical instruments on Shabbos, because we worried that if you do, you'll become engrossed, involved in what you're doing, and if something happens, you will end up doing melacha. These are what we call gzeiros, gedorim, that Chazal made in order to avoid that we shouldn't get into a situation where we might inadvertently do a eser daraisa. So something which is mishum gzeira, so those do not apply on Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed, you can ride an animal, even though you're not allowed to do koitzer for non-edible purposes. Nevertheless, they're not gozer on riding on an animal, and you can climb a tree, and you can play a musical instrument. So to reading on Shabbos, we are very restricted in what we may read, because you're not allowed to read those documents that pertain to business, because you're afraid you might come to write, and therefore many, many things are also to read on Shabbos. On Chol HaMoed, we don't have that restriction, because again, it is a Gzeira Shema, it's a Gzeira that you might come to do something else, since it's a Gzeira Shema, so that doesn't apply in Chol HaMoed. And that's, we didn't put time, okay, that's basically the outline of Chol HaMoed, without getting into much detail. Just told us about what the Malachas are, that there's a Doraisa, those things are excluded, where the Rabbana said the Gdorim, what things still apply, what things don't apply. Now we'll get a little bit more into discussing the individual categories. So number one, we need to say that just like on Yom Tov, Ochel Nefesh, things that are related to preparing food for Yom Tov is Mutter, so too on Chol HaMoed, anything which related to preparing food will be Mutter on Chol HaMoed. However, Chol HaMoed is more lenient than Yom Tov, and there are certain orders that apply on Chol HaMoed that don't apply on Yom Tov. So, for example, on Yom Tov, although you're allowed to cook, you may only cook for what is needed for today. You are not mechuyev to be metamtem. You do not have to be precise and know exactly. I have six people coming, and each person eats 40 grams, and therefore can only prepare 240 grams. That's not necessary, but you cook what is considered normal for a mealtime. Now, if you make a little bit more and a little less over, that is absolutely no problem. But you can't lechatchila cook a large amount in order to have, you know, oh, I'm making a pot of rice, and I'm going to be serving rice tomorrow, so I make enough rice for today and tomorrow that you're not supposed to do on Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, you may do it. So when you prepare a dish, you don't have to prepare it even if you're going to have it every day, you don't have to prepare it every single day fresh. You can prepare it on the first day of Chol HaMoed for the whole of Chol HaMoed. Another thing that is different between Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov, and that is on Yom Tov, generally speaking, we say Milisha Ve'elech, that we know there are 11 malachas that are considered Sidura de Pas, the preparation of bread goes through a process where there are 11 different malachas that are related to preparing food. For example, there's Kotzer, first comes the reaping, and then there's, well, before that, Choresh. You prepare the ground, then comes Zareah, and there's planting, which includes watering and weeding and those type of things. Then comes Kotzer. After Kotzer, there is Ma'amer, you make it into piles, and then there's Dosh, and there's Zoreh, and Merakit, there's Boirer, and after all that, you've got the grain that needs to be toichen, you turn it into flour, and then once you have flour, so then you have Losh, which is kneading, and after kneading, then there's Ofer, or Bishel, which is the cooking. And those are the malachas that are known as what one would be over if one were to start preparing bread from the very beginning. Obviously, you're not going to be planting it in the morning and reaping it in the afternoon, but anything of that process would be asur on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, we allow to do Ochon Nefesh. The general rule, it's just general because there are exceptions, is that Milisha Ve'elech, what we will match on Yom Tov is only from Lisha onwards. In other words, you can't take grain and grind it in order to make bread. You have to have flour. There are cases where tchina is mutter if it's done with the shinuim, whatever. In certain cases, there are cases where boir is different on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So I'm saying as a general rule, I'm not going to Hilchos Yom Tov now, but generally from Yom Tov we say Melisha Ve'elech. On Chol HaMoed we don't say that. We say on Chol HaMoed anything which is part of the Ochel Nefesh is mutter, and therefore you're allowed to do the menachos from Kotzer onwards, as long as it is the Torah HaMoed, or the Torah of the food. So if you have a fruit tree growing in the garden, and you want to take a fruit off the tree and eat it now, so on Yom Tov you wouldn't allow it, but on Chol HaMoed it would be allowed. Really, just remember this, that these malachas are mutter for Ochel Nefesh. It doesn't mean that they are excluded from the Isur and Yom Tov. And therefore, Kotzer, as an example, I said you can pick a fruit or you can dig out your potatoes from your garden to cook them. That's not a problem. But it doesn't mean that Kotzer is not a Melach on Chol HaMoed. So to do Kotzer for a non-Torah HaMoed use would be awesome. Therefore, you want to pick flowers and put them in a vase on your table that is Torah HaMoed. So then you can pick the flowers and put them on your table. But if you're going for a walk in the forest, which is something a lot of people do, you go for a walk out in nature, and you see a beautiful flower and you pick it, it's not so posh that you're allowed to pick it. Even if you pick it because you want to dry it, that's not really Torah HaMoed. What's it going to do with Yom Tov? You can come back tomorrow to do it. So that's, as I said, it's not that we have a blanket heter that all these malachas are mutter. It's just that when preparing food, on Yom Tov we say only from Lisha onwards. On Chol HaMoed we say all the malachas when it comes to preparing food are mutter to do, that you don't have to think. So that was number one was that you can prepare as much as you want. Number two is that all the malachas related to preparing food is mutter. Number three is you're allowed to do Tirchei Seira, you're allowed to work hard and sweat and work and put an extra effort in. There's no limit on the amount of effort that gets put in order to prepare food. Not like Dovr HaOved, where we're going to make a difference between regular Tirchei and Tirchei Seira. And fourth point that makes Chol HaMoed different from Yom Tov is that you're allowed to be Mechaven Melach Tel HaMoed. This is going to be a big issue in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Is what we call Mechaven Melach Tel HaMoed. And that is, if I have an opportunity to do something on Erev Yom Tov, or the days prior to Yom Tov, and I decide not to do it because, well, I know there's Chol HaMoed, so why should I do it now? So that is considered Mechaven Melach Tel HaMoed. Something that you could have done in advance, but for whatever reason you decided to push it off, and now you want to do it in Chol HaMoed. So when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, that is not a problem. You do not have to make food preparations before Yom Tov in order to minimize the amount of malachas that you're going to be doing on Yom Tov. There are other things where we're going to say Mechaven Melach Tel HaMoed is an important factor in defining whether it was mutter or not. I remember someone asked me a question. They had a flat tire on their car and they needed to drive a Mechaven Melach Tel HaMoed. They wanted to know if they could have it repaired. And the way I understood it, and what I told them at the time, was that you have to first find out where they're Mechaven Melach Tel HaMoed. How long has this tire been flat? If they drove a car on Erev Yom Tov, and now they discover on Chol HaMoed the tire is flat, and if you're allowed to drive your car, which we'll see later on, good start on that, and now they need to fix it. So we talk about the example in the halacha brought down is to put on new horseshoes onto your horse. Can you have that done on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed? And the answer is, if you need to ride, if you're not melamed lahalach baraglov, if it's a distance where you would not normally go by foot, so then you're allowed to take your horse. And if your horse needs horseshoes, and that could require a melacha d'oraisa, then you may put horseshoes on your horse. But, and that is the big but over here, did you know about this before Yom Tov? Did you have a possibility to fix it, to repair it, to take care of it before Yom Tov? If not, then fine, then it's mutter. But if you did, then why didn't you do it? Oh, you said, because I have time later. I can do it on the Chol HaMoed. That is considered mechav melach to lemoed. And therefore, you should not, therefore would not be allowed if you had an opportunity to do it beforehand. Now, we don't say opportunity means, well, it broke before and therefore it had to be fixed. Now, obviously, it's talking about there's also you got to have the opportunity. If you've spent the whole of Erev Yom Tov, like most of us, cooking and burning your chametz and taking care of things, and there was just no time to, and by the time you did have time, it's already in the afternoon, we don't have melachos and whatever, you possibly didn't have time. So it broke before Yom Tov, and it could have been fixed before Yom Tov, but you physically didn't have time. That's not considered as mechav melach d'lemoed. That is something that you couldn't avoid, but something you could have avoided. So I have told people that one of the things one should try to do before Yom Tov is to fill up the gas tank on your car before Yom Tov, because if you, as a result of your driving on Chol HaMoed, you're going to end up with an empty tank and have to tank up. So that is Mechav Melach to Lamoed. You could have filled up before Yom Tov. So the Chore, that is something that you should keep in mind, is to have a full tank before Yom Tov comes, so that you don't get into a problem of Mechav Melach to Lamoed. You ask me, what issue is there in filling up a gas tank? So that's a discussion in itself, maybe because of the printing of the Kabbalah. So then you could say, I'm not going to print a Kabbalah. Then what about the fact that, yes, you drive your car today. Each time you drive your car, there's melachos involved. You have to know what the issue in driving, what the hetzer to driving a car is on the Chol HaMoed. Therefore, I've often said, I know someone, when I learned this with one of my chavrusas, he told this over to someone and he came to me and he said, where'd you get this from? I said, L'chaira, this is the understanding of Mechav Melach to Lamoed, and that you, if you can do something in advance, then you are supposed to do something in advance in order to avoid doing a melacha on Chol HaMoed. Why do we get to this? Because when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, there's no such thing as this restriction of Mechav Melach to Lamoed. You're allowed to leave your cooking for Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook in big amounts and for more than one day. You're allowed to do a Tircha Yosera, and you're allowed to do all the melachos that pertain to cooking. We don't just give a heter of Lisha Ve'elech. Okay, the next thing is Machshira Ochel Nefesh. Those things that don't pertain directly to cooking, but they are one step behind it. They are called the preparations for Ochel Nefesh. So Machshira Ochel Nefesh generally on Yom Tov is asur unless it's not possible beforehand. We talk about grinding spices. If you grind your spices before Yom Tov, so they might lose their flavor. Therefore, you may do it on Yom Tov. But salt that needs to be ground down would be asur to grind on Yom Tov, because even if you ground it on Erev Yom Tov, it doesn't lose its flavor. Salt doesn't get bad. It doesn't weaken its flavor over time, unlike spices. So Machshira Ochel Nefesh are allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, but not as the same restrictionless situation as we had in Ochel Nefesh. What can be done is that in Machshira Ochel Nefesh you're allowed to do a Maisa Umen, even though we spoke about something which is Toich HaMoed. We differentiate between a Maisa Hedet and a Maisa Umen. When it comes to Machshira Ochel Nefesh, we don't make that distinction. We're running out of time, so I'm not going to give the whole thing. I'll just give one example, just so that we can understand what we're talking about. Machshira Ochel Nefesh would be, for example, if your oven breaks and you need to have it repaired. So since fixing an oven is not considered Ochel Nefesh, it's considered the preparation for Ochel Nefesh. And since we allow you to do a Maisa Umen, so therefore you can call in a repairman to repair your stove on Chol HaMoed. How you pay him is a different story, but that's at least for now where we're going to hold over there. In Metashem, next week we'll continue and hopefully get to some more examples, practical examples of Chol HaMoed. Wishing you a wonderful and safe week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Very illuminating.
Thank you.